And it is good to be in not just the house of the Lord, but with God's people, right? Listen to me. More than just building, all right? From a New Testament understanding, this is not where God lives in this building. This is not God's house anymore. You know who's God's house now? Us. You're the house of the Lord now. He lives in you. And as we learn in our series, everything belongs what? To the Lord. So the chairs you're sitting on, the clothes you're wearing, the resources you have, all belongs to God. Amen. We got some smart people in here, some theologians. Give yourself a hand this morning. Right? Yesterday I was at a football game. It was at Pineapple Park. And we had a football game going on. And at the football game, this is what happened, right? Testosterone took place. Can I get a witness there, right? And it's not even tag. All right, this is flag football. I mean, this is not even tackle, it's flag football, right? And everybody, you know, everybody want to be referees on each side of the team. What's right, what's wrong, you know? And then had a couple scuffles here and there. And you know, when I was there, this is what happened to me. It got me to think that, man, I'm in the right place. Because I was sad for my community. Because they waste so much of their time and energy, whether it was a first down or a third down, while at the same time they're on their way to hell. And I want us to think through this series today is, what is our priorities? What is our priorities? You know what? You may say Jesus, but does your life look like that? How you live, how you behave, does that look like Jesus? At the end of the day, if this building is gone, if these chairs are gone, if this music team is gone, if all the lights are gone, is Jesus still Jesus today? Now you say, come on. Now let's go into another context. Let's say you, right now, were in a persecuted country. That you were beaten, you were persecuted for your faith in Christ. Would you live differently? Are you with me? Our freedom here in America is our curse here in America. Because we can say whatever we want, whenever we want, however we want. Even me right now, I have the biggest platform to say whatever I want, whenever I want, how I want on this stage. But if I was in somewhere in China, somewhere in the Middle East of Pakistan, Iran, somewhere in Uganda, would I share the way I share boldly today? Would you live boldly there? Would you live boldly here today? Would you put things on social media that you do right now today, here in an American freedom context? Our freedom has ultimately brought us to our curse, right? And I didn't even know that I was going to say that this morning. But I sense a spirit of confusion this morning. Even as we worship, some of you got it. Some of you didn't get it. Some of you, maybe you're just going through the motions. Some of you, you just don't know why you're here at all. You're just here, right? The reality is we need to change who we are, not by what we say or what we think, but what he says, what he thinks. Right? And so as we look into today's things, I want to look at the next part of our series entitled, Say It With Me, All I Want for Christmas, right? We looked at the heart of Christmas. We look at the hurt of Christmas. And today we're going to look at the highlight of Christmas. And so I want to define to you what a highlight is, right? A highlight is something that has more. A highlight is like this lights, right? The lights are beaming on things that are highlighted, right? And there's things that are dark that are not highlighted. Highlights are things that are made visible that we can see clearly. For instance, let me show you the first picture. Call it out. What is the highlight in this picture? Say it, Hawaiians. The holly guy. All right? It is what it is. He holly. Say holly guy. All right? That's the highlight. All right? Here's the next picture. You ready? Not just a pencil. Come on. The red pencil. Right? That's the highlight. Right? Here. Okay. Since it's Christmas season, let's do a Christmas picture. Here we go. You ready? All right, not just any ornament, but the red ornament. Hey, you see a theme there, a red ornament. And so we see this. Here's how I define the highlight, all right, in this series today. in the scriptures. The earth God created is no longer good due to Adam and Eve's sin in the garden, right? We learned about that last week. However, God has instituted a plan for redemption for sinners. That's the highlight. Our highlight today is that God, though we're sinners, God has instituted a plan for redemption for you and for me. Bro, I'm not used to standing up this tall to you guys and all that. I feel like Goliath up in this mug, right? That's the deal. God has instituted a plan for redemption for sinners like you, like me. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, God has a plan. But check this out, all right? The plan is not a mystery. The plan is not a mystery. The plan is found in Christ. That's the joy of it. Have a lot of churches that says, oh, God has a plan for you. You know, and then we're like more confused because what is that plan, Kau? Right? What is that plan? And the plan is Jesus. We get so caught up in the details of the plan, we forget the owner of the plan. Jesus. And if that means in Uganda, Jesus. If that means right here in Hilo, say it with me, Jesus. If that's somewhere in Tennessee, y'all, it is Jesus. No matter the case, the plan for me and you to be redeemed from sin to life, from death to life, for abundant life, is all found in the person and the Lord of Jesus. That's the reality. I'm preaching today, all right? Some of you, the rain making you quiet today. Come on. The rain should not dictate who we are in Christ. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yeah, I'm cold. I'm hot. Who isn't cold? Who isn't hot? All right, around the world today, all right? Some are cold. Here's the reality. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, I spent all my time yesterday here. Jesus. I spent all my time. Woo, 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 woo. Jesus. Poor me. I'm working so hard. Jesus. Sorry, no more compassion. That's not one of my gifts. Jesus has compassion, but. Amen? That's the reality. That's the case. Jesus. Jesus. I wish we had a wooden pulpit so you can hear it on the mic. And all that. All right? And so let me settle down. Come back a little. So we said in our series that we're looking at two views, right? The view of finances and the view of gospel living, okay? And as we look at this series in those two veins, I want us to move forward in our reading in the book of Genesis and jump all the way to Genesis chapter 12. And as you jump there on your iPhones or your smartphones, your stupid phones, your no phones, would you stand with me in the reading of God's word? If you don't have it, we have it on the screen for you, but I encourage you, always bring some form of the Bible. Can I get a witness? People are watching you, okay? Here we go. In verse 1 of chapter 12, we see a new character in our series named Abram. Say that word with me, Abram. And verse 1 starts off saying this. Now the Lord said to Abram, say that first word, go. Go. Listen to me. This is the first great commission we ever see in the entire Bible. In Matthew 28, we see the word, go make disciples, right? Well, to understand that chapter in Matthew 28, you got to understand chapter 12 of verse 1. It says, now the Lord said to Abram, what? Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, say it with me, I will curse. And in you, Abram, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God, we love you. We thank you for your word. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. What a rich text this morning, amen? Very rich, very short, very rich. But I want to give you three highlights in these few scriptures on what we see God doing. And number one, you can write this down. Highlight number one, we see God's grace. Say that with me. God's grace. Here's the definition for grace. Grace is God's unmerited or undeserved favor for sinners. Say that with me. 1, 2, 3. Grace is God's undeserved favor for sinners. This is what it means. All right? You don't earn God. Nothing you do can meet the standard of earning God. Why? Because you're a sinner. And sinners are separated from a holy God. But in our text, we see God lavishing out his grace unto a man named Abram. I mean, when God reveals himself to you, y'all, pay attention. Because it's only by his grace that God would even speak to you. In his sovereign grace, he is holy. We are not. He is righteous. We are not. He is perfect. We are imperfect. Why? Because God is God. And so God reveals his nature, his character, his deity, his lordship to humans like you and I, aka sinners. What a joy. I mean, in and of itself, we can stop the message right there, but we won't, all right? Here's a picture of grace through our text, all right? This is what we see in the text. It said, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Now you try leave the place you lived all your life." Now, I'm not just talking about leaving Hawaii, going to another city in Hawaii, because the context is still familiar, still the same. Whether it's Portuguese camp, Filipino camp, Japanese camp, Hawaiian camp, it's all the same right now, the Polynesian culture. But you try being an island boy at 18 years old, right? Stripped from the islands of Hawaii and go to mainlandville, all right? It will change your life. And here we see in this text, God said, "Abram, brother, get out of here. Go to the land that I will show you." Then not only that, he didn't say, tell him just go. He didn't give Abram a destination where to go. He just said, go. You try to do that. Right? Some of you analytical people in here, right? You got to know every detail in the book and all that. It's going to be hard for you to follow God in this aspect if he tell you just go. Right? Go. Say go. And I think here are two major components we got to understand theologically to understand grace. And it's these two words, mercy and faith. Say those words with me, mercy and faith. And mercy is not getting what we do deserve. It's the opposite of grace. See, grace teaches, man, you don't deserve grace, but here you go through Jesus, right? Then mercy is the opposite. You deserve hell, but because God is gracious and merciful, he don't give you hell. Are you with me? Say, I'm with you, Kahu. Here's the second one, faith. All right. Faith means the belief in completely trusting God. Now, he told Abraham, go. But I don't have no place for you to go yet, too. Just go. Get out of your land. Get out of here, right? Kind of deal. And we see Abraham following God by faith. But I believe, systematically, faith does not work apart from God's grace first. Grace must be in action. Mercy must be in action. And ultimately, God's love must be action before faith even takes place. So there's a lot of teachers that teach that you have, just use your faith. Well, I don't believe our faith is our faith. I believe the faith God gives us is his faith. It's the gift of God. All right, through grace and salvation that allows us to trust in him, in his name. And so we see God calling Abraham to salvation. We see God calling Abraham his child based on this text. We see God bestowing grace, mercy, and faith for Abraham to trust God. And then we see in verse 4, Abraham's obedience. Abraham's obedience, oh, trusting in God says, so Abraham, say that word with me. Abraham went. He went as the Lord had what? Told him. Let's stop right there because this can be practical for us. Some of you are in a place in your life that God tell you to go and you're still staying there. Some of you, only one of you got that. Okay, I heard that, right? Some of you are in a place that God said get out of there, but you're staying there because you're wrapped up in sin. Today, I'm calling out to you right now that through God's word, as he called Abram, he's calling you today to turn from your Opala, to turn from your Pilakia, to trust in God, to embrace God's grace, to embrace God's mercy, and have faith in his name. It says in verse 4, so Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. So check this out. Salvation is a call not to individualism, but pluralism. Salvation is not just meant for you. Salvation is meant for your ohana as well. We see this. Lot is Abraham's nephew, and Abraham in his call takes his nephew with him. Then Abraham was, say those years with me, 75 years old. Oh my goodness. I mean, his life didn't start till he was 75 years old. Some of us not going to reach 50 years old in this room, okay? Some of you who reach 50, praise God, clap for Jesus for that one, yeah? Amen. Look at that. Yeah. And that's the reality. God has called us to go. We see his grace in it. This is significant to everyone who calls on Christ as Lord and Savior, because today's text is the platform in which we see a gracious God for a condemned sinner like Abraham. A gracious God for condemned sinners like you all in this room. Look at what Tim Keller says. Tim Keller says, the more you see your flaws and sins, the more precious, electrifying, and amazing God's grace appears to you. We don't see God as a gracious God because we're caught up in our sin. We don't see sin the way God sees sins. And then we use church as a temporary platform to be remorse of our sin instead of being repentive of our sin. Two different actions. And some of us, we can't hear truth today because you have defiled God after time, after time, after time, after time. And you don't even know what it looks like to live in his abundant freedom. Because you think your sin is normal and natural for believers. And it's not. It's a reality truth for all of us. We can't just see God who gives grace, but also a God who provides mercy for sinners. Like God didn't just give you life, but he freed you from the damnation of hell. A real place where those who aren't true repentant to Christ will spend eternity for the rest of their life. Rest of their life. And that should be a highlight for everyone in this room. God's grace. God's grace. God's mercy. God's love. The faith he gives us to trust in him, that should be our highlight. Number two, the second highlight is God's goodness. Say that with me. God's goodness, all right? I've always heard my mentor said, God is not good because God does good things. He always used to say this, God is good because he is God. You guys ever heard that statement before? Like, God is not good because he does good things for you. Because even sinners, even those who are going to hell, God does good things for, right? That we understand common grace and all that. But God is good because he is God. It's his character. It's his nature. Because we see God as the providing God alone, when really, because he is God, he is good. Period. But we equate goodness with what someone does for me. That's not God's goodness. God is good because he is God. Period. Are you with me? Like, I don't love my boys and give them stuff because I want them to love me more. I do that for them because I'm their daddy. That's who I am. Are you with me? Look at what verse 2 says. He says, and I will make of you a, say those words, great nation. And I will bless you and make your name, say that with me, great. So that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, Abram, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I want you to see a gracious God. I want you to see a good God. But I want you to see in this text how God now reveals his goodness in action steps beyond his nature. Number one, you know, God gave Abram power. God gave Abram power. Number two, God gave Abram provisions. Number three, God gave Abram a platform. Number four, God gave Abram a protection, right? It says, I will curse those who dishonor you. I mean, that sounds good right there, right? Protection. Number five, we see prosperity. He says, in you, Abram, everyone on the face of the planet will be blessed. That's a big shoes to fill, but I'm going to tell you that, right? That's a big shoes to fill, that God, in his sovereign grace and goodness, would choose Abram. God, in his sovereign grace and goodness, would choose you. Would choose you. And you would say to me, God, Cole, you don't know what I've been through. God will choose you. Cole, you don't know what I just did this morning before I came to church. God chose you. No, but you don't know what I just told my wife before I got out of the car. God will choose you. Why? Because he's good. And he's gracious. And he's merciful. That should make us live different. That should be the highlight of our life. That God, despite my Pilikia, despite my Opala, God, you're good. You're gracious. You have given me you to be better, to look better, to move on better. And we see this as he provides power, provisions, platform, protection, prosperity. Here's a reality truth for all of us. Your blessing will always be found in your relationship with God, with a good God, no matter your situation. Like, I know this. Can I be honest with you today? When we first started this church, most of you were on welfare and government funds in this church, right? We know that, all right? It's not a secret. And a lot of you would not come to church when things wasn't going good in your life. I'm preaching now. Come on, all right? A lot of you would stay home because you weren't getting what you needed physically. Let me tell you, beyond all those fluff things, what you need is truth in your life today. You need someone to speak truth in your life, not just make you feel good and honey, honey, and lomi, lomi, you, which is a part of God's grace, but somebody needs to speak hardcore truth in your life that if you do not change, you're going to hell. Now, of course, that's for non-believers, but listen to me, for believers. If you do not change, that will be your destruction on this earth. Because God's goodness, listen to me, cannot be perverted by those who call on his name. Oh, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I go to the church up the road. I go to the church down there across the Kinole Plaza. You can't even say the church name. You don't know what church you're going. Have you guys met people here in Hilo like that? Oh, what church do you go? Oh, it's the one up on the hill. You don't even know the name of the church you go to? Right? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Really? Here's the reality, because we have defined church as a place we go instead of who we are as God's redeemed people. And so there is no joy in church on Sundays because we see church as where we go rather who we are in Christ Jesus. And so we say, man, me and God, we good. I don't need to go to church. My church is at my home and all that. But the reality is, if you read the proverb today, you cannot do church alone. You are the church. You need brothers and sisters to come alongside of you, because the church is about the gathering of God's people worshiping his name forever. That's the church. Can we do that at the beach? Amen. Can we do that at a football field? Amen. But ultimately, we need a place where we can just focus, not on evangelism, though that's good, but where we can focus on discipleship. And that's what I view this morning, primarily. An opportunity for disciples. Now, as evangelists, if you're lost in here, then absolutely. But primarily, I see the gathering of the saints for the gathering of the saints primary. And so we see this taking place where God's following this through Abraham and Lot, and God comes to this next reality of our third highlight in our text. God's guarantee. Thank God that God does not renege on his gifts. Can I get a witness, right? He is not an Indian giver, right? What God gives, he lets you hold. And what he lets you hold, he guarantees you to the very end. That's a good God right there. That is a gracious God right there. But it's easy for us to pervert that view and say, then I can live however I want. No, by no means. God has called us to live free in him, but look like him. And as we see our scripture today, God gives Abraham power. God gives Abraham power. We see it all. He said, Abraham, I'm going to make you a good brother, a great name. In fact, the nations will know you. And we see later on in the text, chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15, all through the scriptures, we see God guaranteeing Abram's promise with him. Did Abraham get power? Yep. Plenty power. Did Abraham get provisions? Lots of provisions. Did Abraham get a platform? Yeah. And not only this, here's a side note. Abraham is considered not just the forefather of Christianity, but the forefather of Islam. So was Abraham a failure too? Absolutely. Abraham had a sexual relationship with his servant girl, which they got Ishmael, because they didn't trust God. So look at this good God, this gracious God, using someone like Abraham, a sinner like you and I, for the glory of his name. Even in that vein, God, in the chapters behind, we see God protects Abraham through many circumstances. And ultimately, God prospers Abraham, both spiritually and physically. And we see these answered 2,000 years later in the New Testament. Look at what brother Paul says. You guys remember Paul in Acts? Look at what he says in Galatians. He says, know then that it is the house, it is those of faith who are the sons, say it of me, say it with me, of Abraham. We say a different name, Abram to Abraham, it's the same name. Verse 8 says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall, say it with me, all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. You have a liar. You have a cheater. Right? You have a fornicator, adulterer, like Abraham. And God uses him for his name's sake. And he says, those who trust by faith in God is connected with Abraham. Are you with me? Now we've seen the gospel. We didn't talk about the first part, right? Finances. Kahozik, how does my finances connect with our text today? Well, I'm glad you asked. Here it is. You ready? In verse 3 of Genesis chapter 12, it says this, and you, Abraham, all the families of the earth shall be, say it with me, blessed. Now, he didn't say some of the families, right? He said what? All. All means everyone, all. Yeah. Listen to me. God has saved you not to hoard you. God has brought you to life not for you to hold your life. God has blessed you, listen to me, so that you may be a blessing. This is why it's better to give than to receive. Because the covenant that God made with Abraham wasn't about receiving, but it was about giving. Are you with me? Psalm 67:7 is my favorite scripture of all time when it comes to finances. It says, the Lord blesses us so that the ends of the earth may fear him. The Lord blesses us so that the ends of the earth may fear him. That being said, you cannot outgive our gracious God. This is what happens with our money, our paycheck. We spend everything first, then we give God our last penny. But then God, in his sovereign grace, gave him everything he had through his son Jesus on the cross for you and I. And then we wonder why we're jacked up and screwed up and messed up in this life today. Even Ohana Church. Ohana Church gives a tithe to our denomination. And we don't give them our leftovers. We have a percentage that we go by every month. And we give them by that percentage that we covenant with our denomination. Why? Because we can't outgive God. And we understand if we're going to reach this world with the gospel of Christ, God must be our first fruit with our money. That's the reality. The Lord blesses us so that the ends of the earth may fear him. And look at the word fear. The word fear can be looked at two ways. One that's condemned forever, a one that's redeemed forever. We can look at fear. It says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, right? That's good, right? Or we can look at it as the condemned. The fear of the Lord is our condemnation. May our fear be the fear of knowledge, of goodness, of wisdom. Here's a reality truth, and I'll be powerful. The way we live generously is in direct connection with our time spent with God. Say that with me. One, two, three. The way we live generously is in direct connection with our time spent with God. You give the way you spend time with God. You live generously the way you spend time with God. You speak truth the way you spend time with God. You are honest based on the way you spend time with God. You lie based on the way you spend time with God, if that makes sense. How you live reflects how you spend time with God. Your actions, your behavior is the result of your time spent with God. And some of you have lied so much, have cheated so much, have wronged people so much, even till today, you're so caught up in your sins that you think that God can't free you from it. But let me tell you something, if God can free Abram, he can free you today. Can I get a witness? And because we are in him and we are free, we got to give freely. Why? So that when God blesses us, the covenant he made with Abraham, he made with us today, so that we may be a blessing to those in this community, those on these islands, those around the world. It's not my money. It's not my wallet. It's not my microphone. It's not my glasses. It's not my... None of this is mine. It all belongs to God. And when we are in direct connection with God through his Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, we can't help but live generously. Why? Because God is a generous God. That's the truth. And if he is generous, shouldn't we be generous? Oh, but I'm generous with my time. I'm generous today. Let your money go because it's not yours. If you don't let it go, all right, he going to take them away from you. Let it go. Now, be good stewards of it. Be right with it. And listen to me. Majority of Americans are way better off than most countries around the world. Don't abuse your blessings. God has blessed us so that the ends of the earth may fear him. Give. Listen to me. Only if you have time spent with God. Because we're moving that direction. We're going to give in just a few minutes. But don't give if you've not spent time with God. That's true. This church is going to grow the right way. Now, is that a bold stance? Amen. Listen to me. Give because you understand that your time spent to get with God, listen to me, is the blessing. You guys hear me? Your time spent with God is the blessing. Why? Because a holy, righteous God in his sovereign grace chose to meet with you, a sinner whose best is filthy rags. Give out of that relationship. Amen. Amen. Bow your heads, close your eyes. As the tech team plays some soft music.